comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I am here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. So good evening, good morning, good afternoon, depending on where you happen to be on this planet. As I said, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. My guests in the studio with me this evening are Jerry and Kathy Wills. They are currently traveling across the USA, and they have achieved the impossible. They have found their way to the Kevin Smith Show studio, located in a place so secret, I can't even find it. They arrived late yesterday. And after the show last night, we went out to eat. And we had the privilege of meeting Sam. And I'm going to tell you more about Sam a little bit later. But Sam was our server. And I'll have a bit more to say about Sam when we come back from that first break. Sam is supposed to be watching the show tonight, so I hope Sam is watching the show tonight. We have here at The Kevin Smith Show something called the K-Files. It is our free weekly newsletter. And it is a good one. Now, you expect me to say that, right? You expect me to tell you it's good because we publish it. But don't take my word for it. We've been publishing that newsletter since 2000. And we have subscribers with us now, 12 years later, who subscribed back in 2000. So it must be pretty good. It is free, and I want you to be getting it. There's no reason why you need to be sitting in the dark, and because it's free, there's no genius in not getting it. Is there? I think not. So here's how you do that. Go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click where it says K-Files. And then subscribe. That's pretty easy. You'll get an automatic email. It has a link for you to activate your subscription. Be sure you activate your subscription, and then you'll get this week's K-Files. Okay? You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. We have also a members community. The members community is made up of people who are supporting this show. We're 100% listener supported. If you don't support the show, we very likely will not be here. It's that simple. We don't sell advertising on this show, and made that choice several years ago. We're 100% listener supported. So how much is it to be a member? Well, 25 cents per day. Now, you paid more than that for your lunch in the second grade at school. 25 cents per day. That's it. You get your own friends page. You get your own blog, your own photo album, and your own video album. There's forums. There's the chat room. There's the video galaxy. There's a library of free ebooks for you to download. There's just all kinds of stuff. And the only thing that's missing is you. You can fix it. Join tonight. We'll be back right after this. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is the Kevin Smith, and in the studio with me this evening, Jerry Wills and Kathy Wills, whom I introduce quite often as I introduce Jerry as the associate host of this show, which he is. But he is also the executive producer of Expeditions TV and chief researcher and Indiana Jones's, his wife, Kathy Wills. And I am delighted to have you with us this evening in the studio. I don't know how you found it, but here you are.
Kathy is. She'll research things incessantly.
Let me turn your mic up just a little bit, and we'll have to turn that down just a little bit. Pardon us, folks, because we're doing things a little different tonight. Okay, Jerry and Kathy and I all went out to eat last night, and our server was Sam. Jerry, describe Sam.
Well, she's a real pistol, a really neat gal, incredibly smart, very motivated, and just, you know, she's fascinated by things that go on this show, the subjects that you cover. When you mentioned a couple things to her last night, the way that she responded to you was with just high intelligence and very good curiosity, like a reporter would. It was interesting to watch that interaction between the two of you.
What Jerry's referring to is I asked a question. Well, I first asked, are you an adventure chick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, yeah, I love adventures. And I said, okay, do you like UFOs? You like paranormal stuff, ghosts, extraterrestrials? She said, yes. And she said her younger brother, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Absolutely loves this stuff and totally, you know, he sees it, he believes it. And she said, I have a few more questions about it or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I don't believe it. And she kind of, her eyes kind of like, what are you talking about here? And I said, because I have seen UFOs, I know they exist, and I know an extraterrestrial. And she said, you know an extraterrestrial? I said, yeah, I know an extraterrestrial, for sure. And then she asked me questions about how do you know that that's an extraterrestrial. Her questions indicated high intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really a thrill for me to be questioned.
by someone with a brain.
Yeah, well, you know. Now, that happens, honestly, it happens with when we open the phone lines and people call in, and sometimes people say, well, now, wait a minute, you said this, how do you know that? You know, and I don't mind that, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't often run into it in a restaurant.
Well, that's what I mean. Sure. Out in the world,
in the general public, yeah,
you might not run into that one time in 10,000. You just ran into it immediately.
Now I wonder what she would have done if I had told her who the extraterrestrial was.
I was wondering if that shoe was going to drop.
You would have probably picked her off the floor.
Sam, the extraterrestrial is about to wave.
Hello, Sam. It was nice meeting you last night. I look forward to seeing you again.
Sam, next time I'm in there for a hamburger, you can ask me how I am sure, and I will answer that. But we kind of answered it last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a little bit.
I think so.
Yeah. You met him, Sam. You just didn't know it. She's an artist,
mm-hmm.
and in college, and I wish her all the best. There's you don't meet people like Sam very often, but there is a guy that works at Taco Bell. His name is Ron,
mm-hmm.
and very much like Sam in that just alive and excited and switched on and up and so I like Taco Bell too.
Yeah, run for the border.
Run for the border, that's right. All right, you guys are traveling across the country. And as a matter of fact, you had to travel a long time when you left where you were to get where I am.
Yeah, it was quite a drive.
Yeah, I'm not anywhere near that. So all of you folks in the Pittsburgh area, and you think, well, there they are in studio, so we can figure out where Kevin is.
No.
Not likely.
You'd be looking a long time there.
Tell us about what's going on in Pittsburgh. What were you doing in Pittsburgh?
Well, we had just arrived, arrived to Pittsburgh from Memphis. We had an event in Memphis that had occurred, when was that event?
In Memphis?
You know, I've lost track.
July 20th, end of July.
End of July, okay. We finished up there, and we were booked into an area outside of Pittsburgh called Burgettstown at the Mesa Creative Arts Center. Mm-hmm. And I had another event. We had another event there, a Friday night evening with Jerry Wells, which is where I do a short talk, and then it's usually a room packed full of people, so I start working on folks one after another after another. And then the next night is, or the next afternoon actually, is when I teach a class called The Mechanics of Consciousness, and this was the third class, the third installment of that class. The Friday night was it was pretty incredible, actually. You know, I mean, working as a healer, you're thinking it would be really nice if everyone here has a sore thumb and I can help them with it to make it better. Something simple. And it's never that way, Kevin. It usually ends up with some folks there that have some really serious and disabling conditions. The first woman that I worked on, just right at the very beginning, had injured her foot, broken to three places, had surgery. Now, 3 years later, it just hurt all the time. She had a boot on it, one of those plastic boots that she just wore all the time because she couldn't stand for it to hit the ground. She couldn't walk on it. She just sort of limped. And she was the first person. So I'm thinking to myself, great. I was hoping for something simple. So I worked on her foot. I spend about 10-15 minutes per person, so it's not, you know, really that in-depth and that detailed. It's just like a quick blast. Mm-hmm. This gal took her boot off, this plastic prosthetic boot thing, saw the problem. I had to regenerate some tissue, had to repair some of the bone structure, and when I finished, I said, well, I don't know if I was able to help you or not, but why don't you try walking on it? Let's see how it feels. She walked around the room, and for the rest of the night, she's up and down out of her chair, just walking all over the place, just laughing and crying. She eventually, at the break, went out to her car, took the boot out, got her other shoe, and wore both shoes. She said it's the first time in 3 years she'd been without pain. And the evening ended pretty much the way that it started.
This was just this past Friday night.
Right. We met a fellow, his name is Josh, who works at Doc's Inn in Hickory, Pennsylvania. Josh had suffered an impact while he was playing basketball. Someone's elbow caught him in the jaw and fractured it. It wasn't broken, and there's nothing they could do. This is the end of the night, like 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30 in the morning, and that's how it goes. I just work on people until I'm done. And I said, all right, let's see what happens, Josh. So I put my hands around his jaw, took a look, saw the fracture, and just did what I do. the bone fused back together, the crack went away, and it looked good to me. And I said, well, you know, it doesn't matter if it looks good to me or not. Try your jaw and let's see if it hurts, because he couldn't really eat anything. He's a cook at Doc's. He and his dad, his family owns the place. Great food, by the way. And Josh makes unbelievable strawberry jam.
Yep.
Listeners, you should be trying to get some of the strawberry jam. I've never had it this good. Josh tried moving his jaw and it didn't hurt. And biting down harder and harder, you know, like that. No pain. So he went out and had a hamburger.
And he had not been able to eat prior to that.
No.
Oh, he said he was tired of eating noodles.
Yeah.
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 And, you know, the gal that, you know, helped her foot. I mean, there were, I don't know, 20, 30 people there. Mm-hmm. And then in this place. And I think everyone left with a lot more than they ever expected to. And that's what it's like usually when we do these. You know, folks just don't know what to think.
When you do these, now you did one in Memphis, right?
Yeah, and we've done one a week previous to this.
Okay, so on this trip, Memphis was your first one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And did you have another one after this, or are you going back home?
Well, from here we're headed to Lincoln, Nebraska. And then from there, we're going to go to Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
There's some folks asking if we would do something in Boulder. I don't know if we have time to put it together. We might just do a small gathering in Boulder and see what happens. Mm-hmm. The small gathering in Athens turned into like 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what that'll turn into.
All right. Now, what do you, I think you called it an evening with Jerry Wills.
I didn't know what else to call it.
Right. When you do one of these, for instance, in Memphis, or the one in Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
Well, you've been doing these for years.
Mm-hmm.
Are the people in these meetings aware that you're not from this planet?
Some of them, and you know, it typically comes up because now there's a lot of information out there. I think the Alfred Lamont Weber interview has been translated into several languages, and it's out there all over the place. And someone had found an interview that I'd done that was in the can, that was done at Columbia TV studios back in the early 90s, where we discussed this. So there are a few clips on YouTube about it, and I honestly never meant to make it a big deal or even have it out there. It just kind of migrated that direction a couple of years ago, and you know, in order to be honest, someone says, well, is this true? I say, yeah, it's true, but the reality is I can't prove it. Well, maybe I could in a way, but I can't really say, here's some proof, this will show you. And who cares if it's true or not? It's just a thing, even if it is true, which I believe it is. It doesn't matter where you come from. What matters is where you are and your frame of reference. And if you're going to walk around like you're important because you're from someplace else, then you're a goofball, because it doesn't matter. What matters is what you're doing with your life now. What are you trying to achieve? How can you help others? And that sort of thing. This this thing that I do, fixing people, healing people, is just a natural aspect of what's beyond this world. On other worlds, it's not a crazy, fantastic gift. It's something everyone has. And that's why I teach the classes, because I think everyone here should have access to that knowledge and be able to do it as well.
I'm debating whether to tell this. I will tell part of it.
All right.
I know that this works. I know that it's not... Well, for some people, it may be psychosomatic.
Yeah.
For some people, you know, they can be absolutely certain of dying of cancer, and you give them a sugar pill, and they think they're healed.
Mm-hmm.
There are some who are psychosomatic. But I had an incident after which I had burn marks around my wrist, and I had some other wounds. And what was happening was the burn marks around my wrist, the burning sensation, I mean, you could see, it was visible, you could see it, about an inch wide around both wrists, and the burning sensation was traveling up my arms. And 24 hours a day, I couldn't stop it, no matter what I put on it, no matter what I took. And we went out to eat, and in the restaurant, Jerry said, "Okay, give me your hands." And I'm thinking, man, I'm sitting here in a restaurant full of people putting my hands in the hands of a guy with shoulder-length blonde hair.
Yeah.
But I did it. And Jerry, he just put his palms out, and I put my hands on his palms. And he looked like he was just concentrating. And the burn sensation traveled down my arms, down to my wrists, out of my fingers, and was gone. The marks on my wrists were a lot lighter, and the next day, they were gone. There were some other situations involved with that as well that he took care of, and this took 2 minutes?
Yeah, 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't very long.
I just
you were there too?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
We went to Dave's, I don't know what it was, some kind of barbecue place. Or something.
Was it that or Cracker Barrel?
I don't remember.
Well, we go to Cracker Barrel a lot.
I don't remember, but
it might have been.
Everybody around, and I was very self-conscious about this, but I put my hands over on his hands,
mm-hmm.
and when we left the restaurant, the problem was gone. So and has remained gone. And these burn marks were as a result of something. It was not sunburn, and it was not a flame. I know what it was, and I'm not going to say, but this was not just a burn sensation. This is something that would have eventually taken over my whole body.
It would have, and it wouldn't have been good. And we just couldn't allow that to happen.
So the people that come to the meetings, well, I see we have a break coming up. So, folks, we will take this break, and then
to the Kevin Smith Show, a place where you can get information that's out of this world.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And somebody just texted Jerry and said, please have Kevin turn the volume up. I think you mean on Jerry and Kathy. And we'll try to do that. There is a technical issue, but we'll try to overcome that. And by turning it up, I think you're going to hear a frying noise in the background. But you'll have to live with that. I don't hear it, so it doesn't bother me. Does it bother you, Jerry?
Well, I was just cooking some bacon. That might be the reason it's frying.
I see. All right, so we've turned your volume up, and maybe... that will be a little bit better. This last week, when you were in Pittsburgh, you were there for how many days?
About a week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. About a week? All right. So you're in Pittsburgh for a week, and Kathy had a UFO sighting.
I did.
Tell us about it.
Well, Jerry was having a conversation with someone inside the building where we were, and I was outside having a conversation with one of our, well, Josh, the guy that we had made us breakfast. Anyway, so he was over, and we were visiting while Jerry was doing that, and we were just sitting outside looking at the stars, and we saw a light that was kind of a reddish-orange light in the distance right above the trees, and I saw it, and I thought, wow, you know, it must be an airplane, because there's an airport. Pittsburgh Airport is probably, what, about how far? About
20 miles away.
Yeah, something like that. And so there's a lot of planes that fly higher overhead, and so I thought it was just another plane. Well,
but what night was this?
This was Tuesday night, and this was around between 10:30 and 11:30 at night. And where we were, it's an old closed down airport.
Yeah, it's an airport that was shut down right after 9/11.
Yeah.
So it's just a grassy, long runway.
Yeah.
And then
very small place. Anyhow, so Josh mentioned, he goes, that light over there has been hanging there for quite a while.
How big was the light, Kat?
And probably you could put a quarter over it if you held it up. And
okay.
And so we, you know, kept on talking, and like 15 minutes go by, and all of a sudden we see the light had moved and turned into an airplane, and it looked like an airplane coming, a white light in front, and it was flying so low that you could see the bottom of the craft, and we looked at it and go, that doesn't look like a passenger plane.
Do you remember if it had like red lights and green lights strobing?
No, there were no red lights and green lights.
Okay.
At all. And so it flies overhead, and it was so low, I estimate maybe 200-300 feet above our heads. And as it goes over, we notice that there are four light panels on the bottom of it, shining, or just, you know, luminous. It wasn't like shining down on us or anything, but we noticed it. And the wings were different too, because they were more like I've been trying to find a shape of the wings to show what kind of a shape it was, but kind of like a dorsal fin on a dolphin. And it didn't look like a passenger plane at all. But it had a long body like a passenger plane.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Would you say the
wings? There were no engines on the bottom of the plane, wings either.
No engines.
No, didn't see any markings on it whatsoever, other than there are these four big panels on the bottom of the plane.
200, let's say, because we figured this afternoon is about 200 feet above you.
Yeah.
Going from left to right, was it fast or was it slow? Or somewhere in, you explained it.
It went pretty slow.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty slow, because it was like we were just watching it go overhead like this.
About 200 feet up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's low.
Yeah, it was really low.
So what did the sound?
It was just a really low rumble. It was very low. It didn't sound like a jet. If a jet was flying over our heads that low, it would just like unnerve you.
Yeah, that would be thunderous.
Yeah, yeah. But it had a little higher pitch hiss to it. But but it wasn't. I go, I've never seen a plane like that. And I asked Josh, because he's from the area.
Uh-huh.
If there was any airplane or any airports that would support this in that direction, you know, that large of a craft, and he said no. And I says, well, are there any military bases around here? And he says, in West Virginia, but that would have been way too low to be taking off from military base in West Virginia, because mm-hmm. how far was what, you know, we were how far from the border of West Virginia? Probably about 200 miles.
But it was coming, what direction was that? It was west, wasn't it?
I don't know my directions.
I don't either. I couldn't quite, I never figured out my directions.
What do you think? Where was
there?
The sun coming out of?
Well, the sun came up over on this side, so it had to be,
I think it was the south.
Was it south?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And West Virginia South.
I was hoping Josh would call in so we could hear his description of it as well, but maybe that's him. So let's just go to the telephone, and that is exactly who it is, because this call is coming from
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
PA.
Is this Josh?
This is Josh.
Okay, Josh, let me turn you up here in the studio. They can hear you on the air, but I want to turn you up in the studio. All right, Josh, this is Kevin Smith, and in the studio with me is Jerry Wills and Kathy Wills, and we are live on the air. Are you willing to talk with us live on the air?
Absolutely.
All right, we just heard Kathy's description of this sighting of this strange craft, and I'd like to get your input on this. What did you see?
It was odd. It was like we were outside. There's lights in the distance, and they were almost like parked there. You know what I mean? I've never seen that, like just stopped in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost got like tired of it looking at me almost. So I turn around, and me and Kathy are standing there, and it starts to come over our heads. But it's like really low, probably about as high as a water tower, I guess.
Yeah.
We came up with. It's really odd, just an odd looking craft.
So it's 200 or 300 feet up.
I would say so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she was telling us about the lights underneath. What did you notice about that?
Yeah, there was like, it was almost like 8 squares on the underbelly, like 4 on each side. And they were almost like halogen lights, like a real dim light, but you could tell they were there. They were distinct, but very dim.
Okay, and what about the sound?
I thought it was kind of like, I don't know, quiet, but maybe it's just because I was in a weird situation. I thought it was odd.
Did it sound really like a jet to you?
Honestly, I was in the moment. It was just, to me, I was just in awe. Like,
mm-hmm.
just a shh, like a quiet noise, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you did you see any engines on this aircraft?
I did not. And you know what else is weird is there was like no markings on the wings. Like those blinker lights on the wings. Didn't have that.
All right. Are you able to watch the show tonight, or are you listening to the show?
Actually, I have my cable internet got cut yesterday. They were doing gas work. So
you're not getting to see it. Well, that's unfortunate. I'm going to ask, Kathy and Jerry did a sketch of what she remembers about how it looks, and so I'm going to ask her to hold that up for the camera. Now, folks, Josh, you can't see it, but our audience that are watching can see it. And folks, if you know what that is, or if you have seen something like that, we are going to open the telephone lines tonight. And give us a call and let us know if you've seen something like this. Hold it just a little higher, Kathy.
Higher.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Josh, did you get the feeling that this is something from planet Earth? Or did you get the feeling that this is something from somewhere else?
It was different, I'll tell you that much. There was like, it didn't seem to have like any right angles. The planes are very like cut distinctly. It was kind of like smooth in its design. It was weird. But it was different, yeah, definitely. Definitely because it was sitting there in the distance for the longest time. It seemed like 10 to 15 minutes. It was like almost watching us. It was weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then just came over real slow, real quiet. And then it was gone.
and then it was gone. Have you ever seen a UFO before?
You know what? I seen one other one behind my house in the woods, and it was weird. It was like three lights, which, if they were headlights, should have been coming at me, but they kind of went like, you know, east to west along the tree line, and then it just dropped down. And that was it. I was like, that's enough for me. I wasn't going to chase that.
All right. Well, Josh, how's the job?
It's great. Thanks to Jerry. Jerry's amazing. You're lucky to have him there.
Yeah. All right, Josh, thanks for the call, man.
What's that now?
Thanks for the call. I'm glad you called
in. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye. Sound like a great guy.
He's a neat kid.
You know, even though it's shaped somewhat like an airplane, some people get this all mixed up. When we say UFO, they automatically think flying saucer, being driven by little green men. And that's all fiction and nonsense created by the news media. It's all fiction and nonsense created by lamestream media. The term flying saucer was invented by them. So we're little green men. Jerry's not little and he's not green.
True.
Almost 7 feet tall and definitely not green. Yeah. So a UFO just means unidentified flying object. This could be some type of advanced aircraft that the military has. Could be. We don't know.
We just don't know what it is.
Yeah. Don't know what it is. It's unidentified to us. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it is, and it was not on the ground. It was in the air, so it's an unidentified flying object. It could be extraterrestrial. It could be entirely earthly.
Well,
we don't know.
Let's take the story a step farther.
Mm-hmm.
The night before this happened, Kathy and I were staying there at the Mesa Creative Arts Center, and it was probably about 11:30 at night. We were just sitting outside. It was nice out. It was cool, beautiful evening. And this is a very remote location. There's no cars, no traffic, no people, nothing. So Kathy was saying, you know, it would be good if you got a hold of the people you used to have contact with and tell them, why don't you come here, because there's a great place to land.
We got a break there. Alright, folks, we're going to step away for break and we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guests in studio with me this evening, Jerry Wills and Kathy Wills. And just as we went away for break, Jerry was about to tell us something, and we cut him off in mid-sentence because, well, we had to. The break was taking over. So, Jerry, pick up right where you left off, and let's move forward.
All right.
What is it you were about to tell us?
Well, we were outside looking at the stars, just relaxing, and Kathy suggested that I try to psychically project out and make telepathic contact with the people that I had been in contact with. It started back in my teen years, and it occurred, you know, a lot of the listeners are familiar. They show up periodically, like every 10 years or so. Anyway, they haven't shown up for a while, and I said, all right, well, I guess, why not? It's about 11:30 at night. So I just sent out a message, and I got a what I call a ping back, which is just a little sensation that I know that I've been received, and now they're sending something back. It was rather uneventful. It's like, oh, well, that's interesting. We went off, went to bed, but the message that I had sent was basically where I was, and that it was a great opportunity if they wanted to come, because I've got questions. Well, lo and behold, the very next night, 24 hours later, roughly, this thing flew over the top, hung over there above the trees for a while, apparently. I didn't see it, but...
You didn't see it because you were inside, right?
Right.
I was inside, yeah. I was working with another client. Mm-hmm.
So. And Kathy, you didn't notice it first. Josh noticed it first, right?
Well, I noticed the light out there, but I thought, well, it was probably a plane coming from a long distance. But then he said, that light's been hanging there for a long time. And I says, yeah, I noticed it was there. And it was just like, he says, it was like hovering there. So and I go, yeah, it is. And then we kind of got tired of watching it because it just sat there.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then out of the corner of my eye, while we were talking, I go, look, here comes a plane. But then when it flew over top of us, we go, and that's not a plane.
Well, the other thing, too, I mean, if you take a look at this drawing, get it back up for folks to take a look at. What you'll notice is there are no horizontal and vertical stabilizer down cam.
That's good.
Now up.
No. You're watching a delay. She's fine.
Okay, never mind. Now listen to me.
There's only one director in the studio, Kathy.
That's right.
Yeah, well, she doesn't listen to me.
I don't listen to him half the time anyway.
You'll notice there are no horizontal stabilizers on the back of this.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there are two thin lines you see here in the drawing. I did that in order to actually create this drawing. I'm not an artist. I'm not very good at all. But those lines weren't there either. So disregard those two lines. But that's what it looked like, according to Kathy and Josh.
All right. When you were in Memphis,
mm-hmm.
The week before, you actually ran into someone who knew me when I was a cop in Louisiana, right?
Yeah.
That's right. And I don't remember his name. I just can't recall.
Did I arrest him?
He was 14. I don't think so.
Probably not.
He was certainly intimidated by the aspect that it... because he said that he was a hellraiser, so we wanted to steer clear of you.
Well, that was an easygoing guy.
You know, he also mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
Yeah.
He said, and I remember that UFO thing.
On Christmas Eve or something.
Christmas Eve, 1992. Mm-hmm. Jerry, that was the first year... I had been there for years, and that was the first year I'd ever had either a Christmas Eve or a Christmas Day off. I always had to work.
Mm-hmm.
But that year, the schedule, we worked on rotation, and the schedule just worked out that I had Christmas Eve off. And I was home with my family, and I saw none of this. But all over Ouachita Parish, people were seeing this UFO. I have the recording of all of the police traffic, the sheriff's office traffic, radio traffic. From the time they dispatched somebody to go out, somebody had called in and said that, yeah, there's a UFO hanging right up above my house. And they thought it was a Christmas Eve joke.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy was dead serious, and he finally said, well, either come out and look at it or don't. I don't care. And so they figured he was serious. So they dispatched somebody.
Hmm.
All the radio traffic, as soon as the officer was dispatched, other officers chimed in on the radio with things like, yeah, get a good description, a fat man in a red suit, got some reindeer, and things like that. Everybody thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
But I missed all of it, but the next day I found out about it, and I personally interviewed officers who were there. Now, our sheriff sent a Christmas gift to the sheriff down in the next parish,
mm-hmm.
and had one of our deputies take it down to the parish line. One of his deputies was to pick it up. The two of them were standing at the parish line talking when this thing flew overhead. And this guy that I'm telling you about is bigger than I am. And he said, the next thing we knew, he said, all I can tell you is, he said, it was bigger than a house. And the next thing we knew is we were aware that we were both down on our knees on the ground, hugging each other.
Oh, no.
Scared to death. Huh. And he said, of course, and, you know, we realized what was going on. We backed off, you know. But he said, we have no memory of doing that. We have no memory of going to the ground, to our knees. We have no memory of, you know, wrapping our arms around each other. He said it was like we were just babes, scared. Huh. And this thing was flying north when they became, it was past them and flying north whenever they became aware of it. This UFO sighting, hundreds of people saw it, including the air traffic controllers who at first lied to the sheriff's office about it, mm-hmm. and finally admitted it. Mm. Okay. At one point they said, we have no planes in the air at all. And one of the deputies keys up and says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I'm counting 8 planes over us right now. Hmm. And they just told us they had no planes in our airspace right now. So for 4.5 hours, this thing was flying all over Wichita Parish. Mm-hmm. And it, at times it was at treetop level. Mm-hmm. It landed in a farm area. They sent a deputy out there. As he got close to it, his radio died. When he finally came back on the radio, he didn't make it all the way to the thing. It was really rugged. It's in Louisiana. This is not open country.
Right.
Okay. He gets back on the radio and he says, I'm going to go home and get me some cigarettes. If this thing beams me up, I don't have cigarettes with me. So, so that's what he was referring to. And he remembers that happening, huh?
Yeah, he does. It was a big deal. I don't know if he saw it or not, but he was certainly aware of it. Mm-hmm. What did this look like?
You know, let me remember. I don't remember their description of it.
Okay.
And we had one deputy car, one patrol car, with two deputies in it, that drove off the road and up in somebody's yard because they were, as it flew over them, just above the treetops, they were just mesmerized and looking up, and the deputy wasn't paying attention, and he drove across the curb and into a yard. And but there were people all out in the streets looking at this thing. And for those of you who are listening in the Monroe, West Monroe, Louisiana area, and I know many of you are, all of this took place, not all of it, but almost all of it took place in the Balcomville area and south of Balcomville, out into the country. So, it was very spectacular. And there was some Air Force investigators that showed up to interview people. And after that, the deputies didn't want to talk about it at all.
Did anybody get pictures?
They tried to get pictures, and you can hear them talking about it, saying, there is no way I can get a picture of this thing. What they said was that it would move over them, and it seems like it's going slow, but then as they would try to take the picture, it seemed like it just shot away, and there's no way I can get pictures of it. But you hear them talking about it, trying to get pictures. Yeah, it was pretty big. All right, we're going to talk about something else pretty big when we come back, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go away. This is a good show.
Yeah.
welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm delighted you are here. And you have my sincere sympathy for whatever it is that kept you away from that first hour. Here's hoping you never have to suffer that tragedy again. But if you do, and you are a member here at the Kevin Smith Show, you can catch that first hour in our archives. We call them K-Pods. And K because it's the Kevin Smith Show, and Pods because we turn them into podcasts. But they're in the members community. And also, we capture the video of each show, each live show. And so for the next 24 hours, you'll be able to see this video. But the podcast will be there forever. So if you're not a member, fix that. Nobody but you can do it. Click where it says join. It's 25 cents a day. Doesn't get any better than that, folks. That comes to $7.50 a month. You won't miss it, and it can mean the difference in whether we're able to continue broadcasting or not. It really can. We're talking with Jerry and Kathy Wills here this evening, and I want to move on to something that came up today, Jerry.
All right.
And we're just going to talk about this for a little bit, folks, and then we'll open the telephone lines. I know you're anxious to talk with Jerry and Kathy, so we'll do that. But as you know, the hottest story in the whole solar system right now is the Mars Curiosity rover. It's just landed up on Mars. Big, big story, and it's even bigger because I did a show about it. And that sounds egotistical, but it's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Because, the guy who is the director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, the science czar, on the night when it landed, they interviewed him, and he said something really off the rails, and I caught it. And so I did a show about that. But now, Curiosity has begun sending back a few photographs, a little better resolution than the initial two photographs. And what we have is a photograph of, it's not really a panorama, but it's a landscape, and it's dark. It's hard to see anything. But folks, take a look at it, and let me ask you, do you see anything? I bet you don't. So let's brighten it up just a little bit, and I'll put a red circle around the area that caught my attention. You know, there's something really bent about an individual whose attention is caught by something so small and insignificant as what you see in that photograph. So I guess I'm really bent. But it didn't look like anything else in the picture. And so I decided to zoom in on it. And when I zoomed in on it, it really caught my attention. And I'm going to zoom in some more. Now, this is important. If you're watching the show, this is important for you to understand. What I am going to talk about is what this looks like to me. I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm not standing there on it, so I can't tell you what it is. I don't know what it is. But I'm going to describe for you what it looks like to me. But I first want you to compare it with another area in that same picture, same resolution, same zoom. And here's another area. Now this area looks totally natural to me. It's just on the left side of the picture. You remember, I put up a picture that had the red circles on it, so let's look at the red circle. You see the red circle is in the upper right-hand corner, and now we're looking at something sort of slightly left of the middle, and it looks totally natural, and this is there just for comparison. And okay, somebody has said my mic is too low. That should fix it right there. Okay, sorry about that. Folks, we're doing things here tonight that are totally, totally unprecedented in this studio. Mm-hmm. I promise you we are. Okay, so now, just because of the mic problem, let me go back and
let me make sure that you get this. There's a red circle in the upper right-hand corner. And I zoomed in on it. And you can see what it is. We'll come back to that. I just want you to compare it to something sort of on the left. And there's a green circle to show you where that is. So the one on the right looks to me to be anomalous. And you might say, I don't think so. Well, let me zoom in a little bit more. Now, when I zoom in a little bit more, what do you see? When I zoom in on this just a little bit more, the volume is okay now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. When I zoom in just a little bit more, take a look at that. What do you see? Now, maybe you still don't see what I see, and that's okay, but let me tell you what that looks like to me. That looks like a roadway with drainage culverts under it. There is a wash. A wash is a shallow drainage area where floodwaters drain through. Looks like there was a bridge across it. I don't see the bridge. That looks to me as if it has collapsed into the wash. I can see the ridge of where the bridge was, barely. But I see the left side and the right side. Now, I'll outline that for you in just a moment. All right? So, take a look at it without the arrows. And now, I'm going to show you the outline of everything. This looks to me to be very much like what we do right here on planet Earth. Now, what you're seeing on your screen in the lower right-hand corner is such a culvert system allowing water to drain through a wash, a shallow drainage area. And the way this construction is done and the reason it's done, this is a road. You would use this on a roadway that's traveling through a low-lying area. And the roadway is built up somewhat, but you have to allow water to drain through that area because if you don't, you're going to get a flash flood. And so they put these culverts under the road to allow the water to pass through. And this whole thing, to me, looks engineered. It looks to me like a collapsed bridge, a collapsed roadway. And on both sides of this, we see where it's collapsed, we see the wash area, and on both sides it looks like it's got culverts under there. Now, is that what it is? Like I said, I'm not standing there. I don't know. It's not my imagination. It's something. And to me, this looks like engineering. And even if I take away all aids to visualize this. For instance, here's a visualization of what I see. I see a wash area going right between the two sides of the roadway, and it looks like that the bridge area across the wash has collapsed. Okay? If I take it away, you'll still take away all the lines and markings, you'll still see what I'm looking at. To me, it looks engineered. Now, maybe not. What do you think, Jerry? You're looking at it. What do you think?
Well, before you put any of the things up there, I was studying it. This is the first I've seen it. At a distance, it looks like there's something specific in that photo, the part that's on the left there, the distance part of the photo. Going up close, it's pretty obvious to me that there's something man-made, mechanical, or there's something distinctive about it that isn't found elsewhere that I can see in this picture.
Mm-hmm.
I see your point. It looks like a culvert. That makes sense to me. I'm just astonished.
What do you think, Kathy?
Pretty much the same thing. Definitely, or if there's some kind of like cave, hole, but.
Now, if you look right in the center of this picture, right down the middle of the picture. You see on the left side and the right side, what I'm calling a possible roadway. That's okay, Jerry. What I'm calling a possible roadway, and you see where it dives in.
Yeah.
All right, right there. Look right down the center of the picture, and all the way to the bottom of the picture, you can see that is a shallow depression all the way down.
Right.
That looks like a drainage wash area.
Well, you can see it even more clearly over here in the small picture on the left.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's really obvious there.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, there's no water on Mars, and they spent all this money, and they didn't get a better camera than this?
They have better cameras. In fact, they're calibrating their 3D cameras now.
Hmm.
So we're going to get 3D shots. I wonder how well the red fogging will work in 3D.
Yeah, good question. Yeah. Well, actually, I developed a 3D system. One of the things that I made for, well, I can't mention who I made it for. But you remember years ago that NASA came out with a 3D VR helmet? It looked like a football helmet with, screens. Before they ever came out with that, I'd made one for a company that I can't mention.
Okay.
And it was the world's first 3D VR helmet. It was better than NASA's. Mine was color, and true 70 IP stereoscopic vision, mm-hmm. and had a variable switch rate, which means instead of scanning at 30 cycles, you can go up to 60 cycles, which gives you absolute clear stereoscopic, and to be able to record it. I did the switching so that the switching would allow it to be recorded onto a single tape, and then you could decode it with a process that I had so that you could take a look and see things in 3D, not use red and blue lenses. It was just on any TV you'd see 3D. That got shuffled off to, it was taken, you know, by this company because I'd made a couple of other adjustments, improvements to it, and it became the world's first 3D electron microscope, so I hear. I can't validate that, but it was my design that was in there. It was about the same time that Sega Genesis, because I showed this to them as well, because I could do that under my contract with this company, and Sega 3D said it would never work, computers aren't that fast, and showed it to their engineers, and 6-7 months later they came out with Sega Genesis 3D. But it was far inferior. They used a 15-cycle switch rate, which made it look kind of blinky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I got sidetracked, sorry. But
yeah,
the 3D system that you're talking about, I don't know which one they're using specifically because I designed two, but no one had ever done it before. And I suspect that whoever has done this is probably operating off the same patent. So I understand the 3D very well. I designed one that used two lenses and one camera that created a 3D image off just one camera. And I'm hoping they use that one because it's a lot more efficient than using two.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they did. But they're supposed to be getting some 3D shots up there. And I'm hoping that they'll drive this rover, which can go 295 feet per hour, which, when you have a 14-minute delay in communications, that's racing.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm hoping they'll drive it right over to this thing, and let's take a look at it. I don't know what it is, but it does, to me, appear to be engineered.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when we get close up and get it in 3D, maybe it's not.
Yeah.
But
that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to open up the telephone lines now and look around and see if you can find that little device called your telephone. There is a combination that you need to put into this telephone, and it will turn it into a transporter. The combination is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you put that into your telephone, it will transport you right here to the studio. Now, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you may either use the telephone and call us, or
because it can be expensive to make those international long-distance calls, we have an additional option for you, and that is the flash message feature on the website. So get over to kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above it, the link that says flash message. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good to you, Kevin. That's Terry Mile.
Hello, Terry.
Hi. I got a couple questions for Gary. I was wondering, can he contact the people he contacts and have them contact other people?
A good question, Terry. Give me just a second. I'll find out. Just kidding. I really don't know. You know, that's a good question, and I've never really attempted that before. But I'll see if I can resolve to an answer, and I'll have to let you know some other time, I suppose. But I don't know the answer to that right now. Sorry.
Okay, and another question is, I know you have abilities to heal people. Do you have to be in their presence, or can you do that on the phone?
I work with a lot of folks over the phone because people have heard about me from all over the world now. And probably about half of the time, I'm working on people in all the corners of the world. So yeah, the answer is yes.
Okay, yeah, I had another question, but it slipped my mind. So I guess I'll leave it go at that.
Okay, Terry, thank you for the call. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And if you have a question for Jerry or Kathy, then dial that number and you'll be transported here to the studio. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia calling.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. Kevin and Jerry, you're lucky guys to be sharing the screen with the vivacious Kathy Wills.
Ta-da!
Thank you.
There's your fan there, Kathy.
I got one fan.
And Jerry, let me thank you for the healing work you do. God knows there's a huge need for that. You know, as a registered nurse in an emergency room, you know, we stay so busy. And I wish more people would find folks like you, you know, instead of clogging up the system that we have right now that just, it's a mess. And Kevin, those objects on Mars, those pictures on Mars are really very interesting. I certainly, drew in that roadway and showed us the wash, that was very, very obvious that it could well be that. In my experience in the military and spotting things, as I look at those, I also want to voice a possibility that those could be openings to a bunker complex of some kind. They look rather like long, low buildings and a possible bunker complex that the openings would go on underground into a vast area. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Well, it could be.
But most definitely engineered. Now, well, yeah. Kevin, I have Kirsten with me, my granddaughter, and she has something that she wants to tell Jerry.
Okay.
And I'm going to give Kirsten the phone now, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Hi, Jerry. My grandfather just told me about the whole alien thing, and it reminds me a lot of my book that I'm writing right now. I have this character, his name is Blue, and he's about 7'5" with blonde hair, and he has to shave it a lot to keep himself looking normal, and he's an alien. He also has healing powers, and his sister is 7'11" something. she dyes her hair and makes sure it doesn't look blonde and stuff. It's just really interesting to me.
Wow, that's
and
pretty cool.
My grandfather just told me this. I didn't know about this at all before.
Well,
so it's kind of odd to me that I was like channeling it.
It sounds like it. It's very interesting. I'd be happy to read your book whenever you have it finished and ready for for release. That, you know, it's a fascinating thing. There are a lot of people who don't know about this because I've never made a big deal of it. I never felt it was a big deal. So all I can say is I'm excited to meet you, albeit here over the radio like this, and I look forward to reading your book when you have it ready. Let us know.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye, Kirsten. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, hello. It's Haya from Victoria, British Columbia.
Hello, Haya.
Hi. Listen, that picture that Kathy drew, I saw the same thing on the 27th and 28th of June at the East Eddy Ranch at James Gilliland this year.
Oh, cool. Wow.
How close were you to it, Haya?
It was really odd. The weather, we had been just been bombarded. We got there early, and we had been bombarded with chemtrails like you wouldn't believe. And at night, we had a lot of chemtrails as well, and the whole sky was slick with oil. And all of a sudden, this craft, quite low, very slowly, just came right, just flew right over ahead of us, but there was no sound. It was quiet, and it caught our attention right away. And my question is, have either Kathy or Jerry gone to the East City Ranch to take a look and experience the area?
No, we haven't. Not so far. James is kind of an arm's length friend of ours. We've never really met him. I've spoken to him on several occasions. I've been on one of his radio programs as well. And we have an open invitation. We just haven't gone. And the reason is because we normally have been going from Phoenix to the East Coast because we haven't had an opportunity to set up anything from Phoenix to the West Coast and north up to the Seattle area. We're working on that, and I told James that we would get there as soon as we can.
Hi, we have to step away for a break. Do you want to hang on through the break?
Certainly, I will.
All right, you hang on, and when we come back from this break, we'll come right back to you, okay?
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do have to step away for a break, and when we come back, we will return to the telephone lines to take your calls and get your fingers ready to do the dialing. 623-444-5889. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Those who are watching are wondering where I am, so am I. But I should be on screen shortly. There I am. my guest this evening is Jerry Wills and Kathy Wills, and on the telephone with us is Haya from Canada. Haya, during the break, we were talking about this, and Kathy has a question for you, so let me let her ask you the question.
Certainly.
Hi. I was just wondering, did it have the lights on the bottom like I described?
Yes, it did, and it and I could see because we were looking on at an angle that they came across overhead of us very, very slowly. It was almost, it felt like it was on its own power, but it almost looked like it was floating, but it wasn't floating. And I could see on an angle that the tips of the wings kind of came up, you know, like a dorsal fin of a shark.
Uh-huh.
Or a dolphin. That's what I've noticed, and it was all smooth, completely smooth all the way around. It didn't seem to have any, you know, it took my attention straight away because I was pointing out to James, what is that, James? And we've had a lot of activity up at the ranch, like spherical, and we've had them above our head, you know.
Well,
I don't
honey,
know what
let
they
me
are,
ask you a question.
I know they're there.
Let me.
It's like I get downloaded every year when I'm up there.
Can you hear me, Haya?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. When this thing flew over, did it make a sound? Did you notice any sound?
No sound whatsoever. And there was no running lights on it. That's the first thing I look for, you know, like the red, green lights of the strobes of a plane.
Yeah.
Because you get a lot of jets and a lot of unusual activity up at the ranch, like spherical orbs, yeah, different types of craft. And this one I've just never seen before.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thanks for calling. And
That's what it looked like.
That's what it looked like. Okay.
Yeah, except, you know, not the lines in it, by the way.
Yeah.
It was just... Yeah, but the light was really odd. It was something I've never quite seen before. It was bright but dim at the same time, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It lighted up, but it wasn't a sharp light, but it was a very light, I don't know how to explain
it. It was kind of like diffused
light.
Yeah. All right. Haya, thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
All right. 623-444-5889. That is the magic combination to make your telephone transport you right here to the Kevin Smith studio. All right. And you can talk with Jerry and Kathy. You can talk about anything they've talked about or something else related to them. If you want to talk about this Mars thing, we can talk about that. It looks engineered to me, but I don't know. Not yet, I don't. I will, but I don't know yet. That's a brand new picture. We have a flash message from the UK. Let's see. This is from Joey in the UK. Has Jerry ever tried using his healing abilities on any individuals who've had spinal cord injury? In other words, someone paralyzed. If so, was there any improvement? Thanks.
Yeah, I have. And what I've found is if, for example, if a nerve connection has been severed, I had a client once who had a nerve severed in the side of his head that went to his inner ear and controlled to get rid of his dizziness. They accidentally severed the wrong side. And now he's still dizzy, so they had to, and he went deaf, of course. So now if they sever this one, he's completely deaf. He wanted me to try to fix that. There are a few things like this that I've tried to do, and I've not really had much success. Whenever you have, the nervous system, first off, is very difficult for me to work with. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's so sophisticated, but... I've had limited success with restoring spinal cord injuries and severed nerves and such, but the caveat is I've had quite a few people who've had all kinds of pain as a result of neuropathy or injuries that left them in pain, and that pain just goes away, and they're returned to feeling normal without any issue. I attribute this to the Creator, whatever your view of God might be, and I don't put any limitations on what might happen, because I really don't know. It just varies from person to person, so I'm open to giving it a try. anytime.
All right. Thank you, by the way, Joey in the UK. And you let me remind folks who are not in Canada and not in the United States, we have an additional option for you where you can participate in the show without having to pay for international long distance. And that is called a flash message. You go to my website, scroll down, and you will see the picture about tonight's show. Right above that picture, you will see a link, and that link says flash message. So you click that and send us a flash message. That's how you participate in the show. Or, you know, if you don't mind spending the pennies, it's more than pennies, you can make the international long-distance call, and we'll be happy to speak with you. And we do get people calling in from around the world from time to time. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Jerry, this picture from Mars, I don't know, you probably know this, but you might not. Do you know why they chose to land where they landed?
No idea.
Well, what they say is that when they did the spectrographic analysis of the area, they're looking for, they looked at a lot of different places to decide where to land. This one, you have the mountain, and then you have, this is in the bottom of Gale Crater, you have this mountain back there in the bottom of the crater. And at the foot of the mountain, they found what looks like water wash. In other words, where things, where sediment and things have washed off of the mountain and down into this plain, this flat area in front of the mountain.
I see.
Okay, so they, that's their official reason for going there. In this picture that they've released to us, I see something that looks like not only, I mean, you know, we see this sort of flattish area in front of the mountains where they say it has drained off and washed stuff down. It looks like water wash sediment. But not only that, it looks like, yeah, and somebody had a problem with that and built a roadway with culverts in it in order to handle the water runoff. That's what it looks like. It looks as if that has collapsed.
Yeah, I know. It's a fascinating picture. Even more fascinating now that you mentioned this. Oh, that's a trip.
This this whole area that people that are watching the show are seeing, this whole area is, they think, sediment from water runoff of that mountain.
So it's a floodplain.
It's a floodplain. And you look at this floodplain, and what do you see? Well, what I see in this floodplain is that something there looks like engineering, and the type of engineering it looks like is what you have right here on Earth. You know, out in Arizona.
You know, I was just going to say, this could have been a photo taken just outside of Phoenix, out in the desert. It looks like that kind of area.
Yeah. Well, one person that I was talking with about this before tonight's show said, well, yeah, but you would think if... It kind of looks engineered, but you would think if somebody were... going to build a roadway, there would be some buildings, some houses or stores or something. You know something? You get on those roads out in Arizona or in Nevada, parts of Utah, parts of West Texas, you get on those roads in the deserts, and there's nobody, there's no house, there's no store, there's nothing for miles and miles and miles and miles.
Well, you know, Kevin, it's difficult unless you've actually seen that to understand that's what it is. I mean, being in Pennsylvania, you drive for, you know, 2 miles and there's another small burg.
Yeah.
Out in the West, I mean, you can drive for half a day and not run into anything. I know places Well, so do you. Or that's just the way it is. There's nothing there. Who would want to be there? There's no water, no food, no gas, nothing except for maybe some power lines going by once in a while. That's about all.
In South Texas, there is a ranch. Now, I haven't been there in, 30 years or longer. So it may be different now. But this ranch is called the King Ranch, and at one time was the largest ranch in the United States. And then there was one in Hawaii, I think, that became the largest one. But as you start, there's one highway that goes across that ranch. It's a two-lane highway. And as you start across, there's a sign that says you're now entering the King Ranch. There's a, and there was a gasoline station, a petrol station, right there beside it. Just as you start to cross that ranch. And there's a sign that says this is your last chance for gas for the next 121 miles.
Well, you know what? That sounds familiar. When we went down looking at the Marfa lights, we were in that area. Did we see something like that? I mean, it was like, you see it, you go, oh, wow.
Down in that area, the speed limit is posted 85 miles per hour. So
yeah, Interstate 10.
It's like get across this area already.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's the King Ranch is legendary, and they patrol that highway with helicopter, and there are signs all along as you cross that ranch that say if you have any car problems, just pull over and hang a white cloth from your antenna. Some cars have a radio antenna, or hang it out of your window, and help will come. Well, they patrol it with a helicopter, and they send the state police. But there are signs that tell you, do not get out of your car and cross this fence.
Oh.
And there are people who have, and have never been heard from again.
I believe it.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's but anyway, yes, there are places just like that in Texas, just like what we saw on Mars. There are places just like that in Arizona, in I guess in New Mexico, especially I guess up in the northwest side of New Mexico.
That's up in the Indian Reservation.
Yeah,
Nevada.
Yeah,
we saw it in Utah as well.
Yeah, Utah.
Great, great expanses of land that you just, you look at and go, and they say that the world is crowded. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely nothing. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, this is Leah from Tennessee.
Hello, Leah.
Hey, I was wondering if I could ask Jerry a question.
Yeah, go ahead. He's listening.
Jerry, have you met, especially since you have talked about the background, have you met anybody else like you?
Okay, we'll get an answer to that after this break. You hang on. We'll be back, folks, right after this break. The Kevin Smith Show. On the telephone with us is Leah. We're on Final Approach. We have to make it real fast, Leah, because we have a flash message to get to as well. But you had asked, if I understood, if Jerry Wills has ever met anyone else like him.
Yeah, and also if he's ever considered doing any kind of interview or anything with someone like him.
Yeah, good question, Leah.
I have met a few others that are like myself. They have ended up, of course, becoming very good friends. Doing an interview with one of them, maybe in the future. Next time I sit in with Kathy and do the Kevin Smith Show while Kevin's away, I just might do just that.
Well, I hope so. I really look forward to that.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a flash message now from Neville in Australia. And he says, superb show tonight. Three of my most favorite people in one room. A special hello to Jerry, who's just the most amazing person I've ever had the pleasure to know. Just wanted to say that I saw the exact same craft Kathy saw around 12 years ago flying over the Latrobe Valley in eastern Victoria. It flew around 800 to 1,000 feet above me at night, but I could actually make out the shape against the night sky. I know aircraft and was particularly taken by the very unusual light strip on the underside of the body, exactly as Kathy has described in hers. It also made no sound whatsoever. Cheers and best wishes, Neville.
Wow. Well, thanks, Neville.
That's very interesting. All of the world.
Yeah, well, it makes sense, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but 12 years ago.
Yeah, 12 years
ago. Wow.
All right. We do have time for one other call if it comes in right now. If you wait till we're like 5 minutes before the end of the show, there's no time for you to ask your question, make your statement, and Jerry to respond. So but you do it right now, we'll take your call. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889, the magic number that puts you in touch with the galaxy. Jerry, I understand you have coming up a big announcement. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And it's going to be announced to the world here on the Kevin Smith Show. We can't tell you what it is yet. It is a pretty big deal. I'm telling you, this is not a small thing at all. We're waiting on a couple of final pieces to come together. And once it does, you're going to hear about it here first. So what you should do is call your friends, wake the kids, and knock on the door of the neighbors. Get everyone signed up to the Kevin Smith Show. And if you do, then we're going to send you by email a picture of steak knives. So do everything you can and let the folks know that they need to hear this big, big news. And I'm not joking about the steak knives. I'd be happy to send you a picture of those. Well, it's just an incentive, you know.
Let's sharp. Take this call before we go. Run out of time. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin, Kathy, and Jerry. This is Kathy in Las Vegas.
Hello, Kathy. Hi. In Las Vegas.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I was wondering if anyone has heard from Dr. Filipov and what the reaction was after word got out that the movie was shown.
I heard from Professor Filipov about a week and a half ago. He sent me an email. And I have not had a chance to get back to him. You understand, as we're traveling, phone service is sketchy and we're on a cell phone, so a bit of a call to get a hold of him. And there's been no time, really, to even answer the emails that have come in from other sources. But I do intend to get back in touch with him within the next, probably about 2 weeks, the third week in August. I'll be in touch with him, and I'll tell Kevin, and he can let the viewers know what that conversation was like. I'll record it if I can.
Is he doing okay?
Making contact with people.
Yeah, he sounded good. The reason he wrote to me is because I offered him help with trying to decode some of the crop circles. I had told him, as you remember in the interview, that there was an algorithm he could use to create a model from the crop circles, or if he created the model, he could use the algorithm to start pulling information out. And I've been waiting to hear if he actually had discovered what the algorithm is. Apparently he hasn't, and he's asking for help, so I'm going to be in touch with him to provide him the details as best I can. He's a very smart man. I'm sure he'll get it.
Thank you very much. I'm glad. I can't wait to hear more information.
All right.
Fascinating.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call, and that will have to be our last call of the evening because we just don't have time to take another call and answer our comment on whatever is said. Now, you guys drove into the Twilight Zone to get to me.
Yeah, and we're lost.
Yeah. This is a location so secret, even I can't find it. Do you think you'll be able to find your way out of this?
Well, we do have a GPS. And if
does it work here in the vortex?
Well, we're going to just drive until we get to past the event horizon.
Yes. I see.
And once we get that, then we get a satellite fix and program the computer for our course.
Mm-hmm. And you're headed from here back home?
No, we're going to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you told us that. But I'm an old guy, Jerry. I forget stuff.
Well, I'm an old guy, too.
But you didn't forget.
Well, it's because she told me. I was thinking we're going home.
So you're going to Lincoln, Nebraska, and then after that?
We're going to drop down through Denver. I have the motorcycle and the new truck, since the other one got bashed in. So I'm going to ride the bike up in the mountains above Boulder, probably go to Nederland and across the Rockies. There's a nice road up there. Load it back up and head back towards Phoenix.
I have really bad experience riding a motorbike in the mountains. Mm-hmm. In East Timor, I came around a curve and a guy on another motorcycle was coming the other way on my side of the road and hit me, bounced me right off the motorcycle, and the motorcycle stayed on the road. I went over the cliff.
Holy cow.
Backwards. Well, it was about a 100-foot drop and nothing but very sharp boulders at the bottom. But on the way down, there was some scrub brush growing out of the side of the cliff.
Yeah.
And it had these vines growing all in. I didn't even care if it was poison ivy. I landed right in the vines and it just caught me like a net.
Wow.
You know, that happened to me. We were on horseback up in the Andes. The horse slipped, went over this cliff, and I mean, to tell you, that's a long way down, thousands of feet. I ended up hanging upside down by my knees in this tree that was sticking out of the side of the cliff.
Yeah.
And they had to throw down ropes and hoist me out of
there.
Yeah,
me too.
That was the freakiest thing.
Yeah. I only fell about 30 feet.
Yeah, it's about 30 feet for me, too.
Yeah. Well, there must be something synchronistic about 30 feet.
I think that we have a lot in common.
We might. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this evening. Jerry and Kathy, thanks for finding this unfindable place, and we're going to have to call it a wrap. My friends, ladies and gentlemen, call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. Some of them call me something else. You can call me whatever you want. But I hope that you will be back here at this show every time we are on the air. Just keep coming again and again and again. Until next time, shalom, everybody.